Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
Top of the morning.
Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys.
How you guys doing?
All right.
Oh, it's gloomy today.
Yeah.
It is a bit gloomy today. It's a bit mizzy.
It is.
Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in. Thank you for popping in to say hi and check in with us and browse the shelves.
And yes. Stand by our gas heater and get warm.
Stand by and get warm. It should be summer, but fucking Joburg. Right. It's weird, eh? All right. We've got ourselves a G-Force here.
Hello.
He's got himself a very husky voice today.
Yeah, oh, it's a bit craggy today.
No, but it's nice. It's a good look. You're an editor,
yes,
and very much the producer of this podcast. We've got ourselves a Kolsky Matthews,
howdy,
who is a creative copywriter. We're not working here at the video store, and my name is Russell. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg, and. Thank you for joining us. Last week, we couldn't put out an episode,
yes.
And that is all my fault. The Bioscope had itself a crazy weekend, and we got off to this incredible start with one of these really big events.
Right.
We do lots of events here at the Bioscope. Often they are kind of small, more personal stuff, where someone's just hiring the cinema room, and then everyone sort of bloms in the courtyard and the lobby, and everyone gets on with each other. Where,
right.
You know, the one group leaves and the other group goes in, and everybody's happy.
Yes.
But every now and again, there's one of those events that like has decor teams,
right?
Shucks.
Tech teams,
yeah.
And they take over, and
okay.
And that's good, and that in some ways that almost makes it a bit easier.
Yes.
But there are these days of setup and. You know, cocktail parties. And
right.
So, yeah, we were celebrating 60 years of a company called Ultron.
Okay.
Which is not the bad guy from...
Transformers.
Yes.
Avengers.
It's a Decepticon.
Age of Ultron was with
oh,
the
right.
A.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Ultron with an A.
Ultron.
Ultron. And they were lovely, and the event organizing team, Rebel Element, were really cool. So it was one of those where I thought we would be able to... do a sneaky recording, but it
right.
was like
just too much.
It was just too much. Right. So yeah, so thanks guys, thanks for waiting.
Yes,
and here we are back again.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We always like to kick things off with a little round of "Hey, did you guys see?"
Yes,
which is a nice little quick news chat.
Mm-hmm.
Also for all of us to catch up on what's been happening in the last little while.
Yes.
Would someone like to kick it off, or would you want me to?
You can go first.
Hey, did you guys see? There is now a final. Well, not a final, but there's now a bigger trailer. We got given the teaser a little while ago, and it was mentioned on the show.
Yes.
For One Battle After Another.
Oh, yes. This is PTA's new movie.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes.
With Leonardo DiCaprio. And yes. One of those... Have you seen it, Cole?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so One Battle After Another yep. is the new Paul Thomas Anderson film. It's coming in September, and we've got Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, in his best... type of role where
yes.
his back's against the wall.
Yeah, and he's kind of manic.
And shit's getting out of control.
Yeah.
Best displayed when he was on the yacht in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
And in the depths of The Departed.
Yeah.
He's very good at doing this. But mm-hmm. he's wearing a beanie and he's wearing those like very iconic old people glasses.
Yes.
You know, that you see old people drive in, because it's almost like there was a news article at one point that told old people, you need these glasses so that it can also shield
yes.
the light from the side.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. And what I appreciate is you can almost see, hopefully, this is a look that will become iconic.
Yes.
Like this could be a iconic Leonardo DiCaprio look.
Yeah,
this beanie
I agree.
And these glasses. It's like kind of how Jeff Bridges has got a look from the Big Lebowski.
I was about to say it looks similar.
And
exactly.
It's got that kind of culty vibe to it. Yeah. And I also just as a cinema owner, look to that month and go, cool, September's looking good.
Nice.
You know, we've got a PTA film in September at the Bioscopes. And that just feels right.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
It's the same as we're seeing this Wes Anderson coming. It's at the end of May. The Phoenician Scheme is coming. We haven't seen
anything on it, and it's coming in May.
Yeah, end of May.
That's wild.
Shucks.
Yeah, it's still lined up. It's still dated. It's still on track.
Hmm.
But we haven't seen any trailer, any look.
Okay.
But
see, these people are busy, hey?
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck, they don't stop making movies.
Yes. So yeah, but it's one of those like, cool, end of May is good.
Nice.
You know,
nice,
at least it feels that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool to watch. It looks like you don't really get an incredible amount from this trailer.
Yeah.
Even the more extended trailer feels more like a teaser.
Yes, it does.
But I think it's going to be this complicated, nuanced.
It looks very satirical. It looks very funny.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Like, it looks like a comedy.
So yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is one that initially I think people thought may have been a April Fool's joke, but it seems like it might be real.
Okay.
How did you guys see that David Fincher may be directing a follow-up to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, I saw
for Netflix.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently what happened was Brad Pitt went to Quentin Tarantino, because Quentin Tarantino has like so much like extra stuff that he's written around Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that has been published and hasn't been published.
Yeah, well, like there's most famously
the novel, which isn't a novelization of the movie. But there's all this other stuff, and Brad Pitt said, hey, let's take it to David Fincher and see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
Which is a bit especially interesting because Fincher is like exclusively signed with Netflix. So all his stuff goes straight to Netflix.
Is he?
Yes.
That's an interesting move.
That's why like all of his stuff over the last few years have been Netflix movies. Like he hasn't done anything that hasn't been.
That's also interesting considering that Tarantino would give it to him knowing that.
That's what I was going to say. Like it's interesting that Tarantino would be like okay with that because of how much he rails against streaming.
Mm.
Yeah. So there is a book.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely read. Mm. I fucking loved it.
Okay.
The majority of the book is actually the fictitious story of the TV show that Leonardo DiCaprio acts in.
Yes.
So there's a scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where he's got to go on set. That's the scene where he meets the little girl when they were running lines. And then he's the bad guy in this kind of Western that's being shot. The majority of this book is this Western completely thought out. Like, that could be a TV show in itself. It's something out of, like, Yellowstone.
Right.
It's, like, in the Wild West, sort of Seven Samurai type sort of raiding gangs and brothers and family. And so it's, like, it's completely indulgent.
Right.
There's one part that's just Cliff Booth, which is Brad Pitt's character, loves movies. And so, like, there's this whole indulgent thing about Kira Kurosawa and how much he loves film, and he goes and watches movies as Cliff Booth. And I was like, this is so indulgent. It's so lovely. Yes. This was written for me. The plot points of the movie, like the break-in, the Sharon Tate Manson murders, is a paragraph in this book.
Jeez.
Damn.
It's a couple of lines.
That's interesting.
But there's a lot of controversy and unknown stuff about Brad Pitt's character and his wife and how, whether or not he murdered his wife, which is alluded to in the movie, but he expands into that moment, that scene on the boat, because you just see a quick cut of it in the movie, but in the book there's more expanding on it. I gave it to you as a Christmas present.
You did.
A birthday present. Yeah. Have you not read it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
It's on my bookshelf.
You'll love it. And also more background on Manson and how he like wanted to be a musician and how it sort of all came to be. No, it's great. There's a lot more meat on that bone.
Yeah, because even the one that was going to be Quentin Tarantino's next movie that he's now scrapped, The Critic, was going to be about that same character. Brad Pitt's character was going to be the lead in that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But now that's been scrapped as well. So, but yeah, I just think it's interesting. Fincher, like, directing stuff written by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That sounds awesome. Sound
good, right.
Yeah. Have you got one, Kolski?
Val Kilmer died.
Yeah.
Which is super sad.
Yeah.
It was of pneumonia, I think, post his throat cancer battle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a little
65.
Bit of
65. Too young.
Dude. Too young.
Sucks.
Too young for like an incredible actor, actually.
Mm.
Like an iconic actor in a way, especially if you grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Famously, I think his South African accents in The Saint is listed as one of the worst in cinema history.
Yes.
Did he do a South African accent in The Saint? Oh, he was pretending to be a South African.
Yes, like in like one scene, I think.
Oh, so he could even chalk it up to like, I was acting a South African accent. Yes. I was trying to do it.
Yeah.
I forgot about him doing we've got a thing on the video store, the Saffa Spotter.
Oh, yes.
Which is whenever someone is acting as a South African. So there's a special mention there.
Yeah.
He also was in South Africa shooting Ghost in the Darkness.
Yes.
And in one of the secondhand books that I bought at a secondhand bookstore, in one of the pages was a signed photo of Val Kilmer to someone. This guy's name was Richard Brown.
Right.
All the best, Val Kilmer. And I've got it framed and put up on our...
Is that what that is?
Our lobby. Okay. And I tried to look at it and see whether the framer could sort of recrop it to take out this guy's name.
Oh, right.
And then I thought, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
If Richard Brown arrives and says, oh my God, this is my photo, I'll gladly give it to him.
Yes.
But until then, people will think, hey, Richard's somehow to do with the bioscope. But either way, here's a picture of Val Kilmer that was signed by Val Kilmer.
Fascinating.
This black and white photo of him holding a rifle in the bush. That was a good fucking movie.
I like that movie, yeah.
Ghost in the Darkness was solid.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's the Killer Lions.
Yeah, true story.
They're building the bridge.
Yeah.
And these lions have got a taste for human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have a different name because it's not on his IMDb. Acting in it, eh?
Yeah.
It's
the ghost in the darkness.
The Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah.
Other special mentions of his films. I liked his role in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was like a sort of weird, like queer dude.
Yes.
He's sort of like a real sassy queer.
Mm.
I thought that was quite cool. He's got that little gun. What did he call that gun?
Don't remember.
He had a name for his little gun.
Top Secret's great as well.
Okay, yeah. Perrin was mentioning Top Secret. I don't know anything about
it's
that.
It's just it's from like back in the like heyday of what's the word, spoof movies.
Okay.
It's like a World War II sort of, I think it's one of his first roles, maybe his first role.
It's like a silly spoof.
Yes.
Well, speaking of silly really spoofs, good. I would want to continue talking about Val Kilmer, but I've got a little hey did you guys see?
Yeah.
The teaser trailer for Naked Gun.
Oh, yes. Rebooted. No, it's not even a reboot. It's like a sequel.
It seems to be a sequel. Yes. They're honoring the fact that
yes.
So, did you guys ever watch the Naked Gun movies?
Yeah.
They're like some of my favorite movies. That's so fucking funny.
And then you have Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, along with Akiva...
Goldsman.
Schaefer.
Oh, Schaefer, yeah.
From Goldsman's Lonely
producer,
Island.
Yeah.
Kind of rebooting the franchise with a sequel film. Mm. And I saw it coming on the distribution plans, and I just said to them, listen, this could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
Like, this could either be like really funny and really smart, like the Chipmunks movie, which is on Disney Plus, which I think the video store can all, you know, validate as being like a real sleeper hit.
Exactly.
Because it's so much more and smarter and a little bit more intellectual than you think. Lonely Island is that. It's a dick joke, but it's a smart dick joke. It's a dick joke with a bow tie. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a dick joke
with
a bowler hat and like a English lit degree. Like, it knows it's funny.
Yeah.
And it knows its own silliness.
Yes.
So I was very eager to see it, and I even said to the distributor, let's see the trailers.
Yeah.
Let me get a sense of how this is going to be presented. This teaser trailer looks fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be a stupid movie. It
doesn't look great.
It doesn't look great.
But stupid in a funny way.
No. It doesn't land.
Maybe it would have been funny. It maybe would have been funny like 25 years ago.
Yeah, because that's the energy of that entire franchise.
Yes.
You know, it's old, and that's why that sense of humor is,
is
like, it doesn't exist anymore.
But
and that's why it's
some of that Leslie Nielsen sort of humor was like really dry dad joke kind of wordplay.
Yes.
It wasn't a physical, it was physical humor, but it was.
He would go there, but. I think his like signature thing is deadpan delivery of ridiculous things. That's like Liam Neeson. That's what made Liam Neeson, not Liam Neeson.
Leslie Nielsen.
That's what made Leslie Nielsen so funny.
Yeah. So now we have Liam Neeson.
Yes, as his son.
As his son, kind of continuing the legacy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
But it's the director of Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like this comes from Lonely Island?
Right.
And and that Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers movie. Sorry, I said Alvin and the Chipmunks. Chip
no,
and
you
Dale.
Did
I say Chip and Dale?
Yeah.
That was really good. That was really funny.
Yeah,
that
was
really
great.
Smart. And so that's why I held out a little bit of hope for Naked Gun.
Yeah.
But I don't quite think it's that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the teaser trailer doesn't give you that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Perhaps more is coming.
Okay.
I have a cash up that it's not Ghost in the Darkness. It's The Ghost and the Darkness.
Yes. Okay. I thought that's what we said.
Mm-mm.
That's what I said.
Okay. Maybe that's not what I said.
Oh, okay. Got it wrong. I just misheard because I assumed.
The Ghost and the Darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be that's the Ghost in the Darkness.
Oh, the tagline is pray for the hunters, but pray like you're being preyed on.
Yes.
It's cool. A fucking good movie.
It's a pretty solid movie, yeah. But it's called The Ghost and the Darkness because that's what they named the lions.
Oh, yes. That's smart.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. One of them's the ghost, one of them's
like
the darkness.
Val Kilmer was a beautiful man, eh?
He's very handsome.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
And that's another, that movie though, is another example of him doing a terrible accent because his character's Irish.
Hectic.
Boy.
Oh boy.
I really want to see this now.
It's good though. It's a really good movie.
Well, we've got opportunities at the Bioscope to honor the man.
Yes.
And we've got different categories and different ways of presenting certain films.
Mm.
So one of which is the Video Store Presents.
Yeah.
And so I wonder what could be a cool Video Store Presents.
Mm.
There could also be like a Classic Movie Sundays, which could honor him in a particular way. I don't think we're in cheesy movie night territory with any of his films.
Mm.
But yeah, we must chat about what could be a cool film to present.
Mm.
And maybe all this talk of The Ghost in the Darkness
maybe
could be a cool one.
Yeah.
It's a cool one to discover, I think. It sounds like an interesting one too.
Yeah.
It's not as obvious as something like Batman and Robin.
Batman Forever.
Damn, I always get them confused every time.
I wanted to go to that. He only did the one Batman movie.
He did Batman Forever.
And it was Batman Forever. And who were the other people in that?
O'Donnell was Robin.
Yeah. Oh, that was Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Two-Face and the Riddler.
Okay, yes. That was the one that he was the Batman for. The Jim Carrey one.
Yep.
He was a great Bruce Wayne.
He was a good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
There's supposedly like a director's cut of that movie that's much more like serious and goes like much more into like the psychology of Bruce Wayne.
Oh.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a version that's like 45 minutes longer or something that no one's ever seen.
Oh.
I just remember that scene in the, I don't know where they were, in a stadium where he had to reveal himself.
Oh, yes.
And he actually does a circus. A circus.
Yes.
And he actually does reveal himself, but no one hears him because it's so
everyone's
noisy.
Like screaming and
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys seen The Doors?
I haven't.
As Jim Morrison.
No.
Okay, I just wonder why we've never seen it. I've always known it exists.
Yes.
But I've just never seen it.
Yeah.
So that to me feels like it could be a good Video Store Presents because it's something that a lot of us should watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Video Store Presents for me has always had this aura of like us want, as members of the, the clerks, showing each other films and like watching films. Like I use it as a chance for me to actually sit in my cinema and watch movies I've never seen.
Yes.
That was what The Straight Story was for me. That's what that 90s Mario Brothers was for me. It's like I've always wanted to see it and now's a chance for us to watch it.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to come along, they can.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe Ghost in the Darkness is the Video Store Presents because I would want to rewatch it. You should watch it, Cole.
Yeah.
I remember watching that movie like a week before going to the Kruger Park.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's not great timing.
No. Okay, cool. Anyone got others?
I have one more.
Yeah.
I find this sort of stuff interesting. I don't know if anyone else gives a shit. Hey, did you guys see that Apple TV loses $1 billion a year? It makes a loss of $1 billion.
Interesting.
Yes.
Is this Apple TV Plus?
Yeah, this is like Apple. This is like their productions, like all their stuff, because they lose $1 billion a year. But the thing about it is Apple is a company that's valued at about $3.3 trillion.
Yeah.
What?
And they make a revenue, loss in 2024, they made a revenue of $390 billion.
Yeah.
So a loss of $1 billion is fucking nothing.
It's nothing, yeah.
That is so crazy,
dude. They just do it for market share, basically, to like have that segment. And to probably at some point in the future buy a studio.
Well, speaking of studios and Apple,
yes.
Seth Rogen's new show has just started on Apple TV Plus.
Called
I haven't
the studio.
Had a chance to watch it called The Studio, which looks really fun.
Looks good.
Where he takes over this kind of fictitious studio.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
And there's also a new Guy Ritchie movie coming.
Oh yes, I watched the trailer for that. The Fountain of Youth. It looks like, you know those movies that have fake movies in them.
Yes,
it looks like one of those movies. It
John
looks like
Krasinski
a fake movie.
Goes on this kind of.
It looks like a national treasure
type romp.
It looks very National Treasure.
Yeah, it looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
it looks like, you know, like the fake movies in Scott Pilgrim or like the fake movie trailers. Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, it looks like one of those movies.
Yeah.
Oh. Am I weird? He's making an Aladdin 2.
Oh, my Lord. I suppose it made a lot of money. So, well, let's see if that actually happens.
Did you guys ever end up going to watch Snow White?
No.
No.
Yeah. I'll wait for that one on streaming.
Yeah, I think
I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Apparently neither does anyone else want to pay for it.
Yeah. No, listen, I think even if it's vaguely doing okay, the media is just pummeling it down.
Yeah, I mean, it was never going to do well, to be honest, regardless of any social media backlash nonsense.
What is doing well, and perhaps we can go on to that, is we got together as a group to watch the new Jason Statham. Should we start talking about that?
Yeah.
If we have to.
Well, let's touch on the idea of it. I think it's interesting is... you know, we get invited to a lot of these pre-release screenings, these advanced screenings, these media screenings. They're either just a bunch of press guys in a room, or it's a big fancy soiree. They all come in different shapes and sizes. But I think we generally have the ones that we're like all pumped to go to.
Yes.
Where it's like, fuck yeah, like I'm keen, this is going to be cool.
That was Fast 10.
And then there were a couple where you're like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, sometimes I'm like, this isn't even going to be a movie we're going to screen at the Bioscope. Yes. I can see from a mile away it isn't. Let's see, or maybe we'll go. But we got invited to A Working Man, which is the new Jason Statham. And I think all of us had the same feeling, which is like, we know exactly what kind of movie this is going to be. And I'm fine to go to it. Like,
it's like, you're not going to be disappointed in a way.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, we know exactly what we're going to get.
Yes.
We're not expecting anything different. And you know what? It'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And of course it was just that.
Yes.
This is from the same people as The Beekeeper.
Yeah. Which came out almost exactly a year ago. So they made this movie very quickly.
This is a poster that says the line, human traffickers beware.
Oh, right.
Or is that the tagline of the movie?
Something like that.
Wow.
Which is like, what? Really?
If you say so.
So he's a construction worker.
For reasons.
The people he works for have a family construction business, and the daughter gets swept up in a sort of seemingly random case of human trafficking.
Yes.
And his allegiance, despite having a lot at stake, like his own daughter and his own livelihood to think about, he gives it all up to kick the hornet's nest, to work his way up a human trafficking ring to save this woman, which is very noble of him.
Very noble.
He's a highly competent individual, which he was in The Beekeeper as well.
Yeah. He's a man with a certain set of skills.
Exactly.
I love that. I just love these individuals that are just like, they are just perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they can fucking do anything. And you're like, if you're this capable, how are you not like a more successful individual?
Yes.
Like, why are you this really poor, down on your luck construction
but
worker?
But he's supposed to be like a poor construction worker, but he owns like two cars and a motorcycle and...
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Halfway through the movie, another car just arrives.
Yes.
So
he has the sort of the big American truck.
Yeah.
You know, like a real Bucky on steroids kind of car. And you get the sense that at some point he slept in it. So you're like, okay, maybe you got this one good car and you're looking after it because it's your baby.
Yes.
And it's actually your house.
Yes. It's a home on wheels.
But at some point halfway through the movie, when he needs to be more like...
agile.
Stealthier.
Yes.
Somehow a fucking like GT or like a Mustang or whatever the fuck that car
it's
is.
Like a Shelby or a Dodge Viper.
Yeah,
or some,
yeah,
whatever
it just
it was.
Sort of, that's his car now. Yes. And you're like, where the fuck did that come from, bud?
And the whole reason we're like going on about this, yeah. right? Is because one of the key plot points in the beginning of him being a down on his luck working man
yes.
is that his son has a stepfather. There's a dead wife. The step-grandfather, sorry,
yes.
wants to take custody of the daughter away from Jason Statham because yes. he's such a dangerous person because violence always follows him around and he can't afford to defend himself in court as a father
yes.
because he has no money.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden he shows up with all these expensive cars.
Yeah. yeah. But also just he, yeah, the custody of his own daughter is hanging in the balance and he chooses to like fuck shit up.
Yes.
Like, he chooses to kick this very big hornet's nest.
Yeah.
And yeah, and just the costume department shone, because some of the bad guys were in these very elaborate, really ridiculous costumes yes. some of the time. There was a great mention of a big fight sequence out in what looked like a barn.
Yes.
Where the moon was, like, comically large.
Yeah. It was like a Shrek moon.
and yeah, and the sort of evil guy sort of wore this kind of like steampunky kind of top hat.
It was so
yeah,
weird.
Tonally, it was a bit all over the yeah. place, eh?
Someone in the costume department was like, don't worry,
yes.
got this. You don't need to check in. I got this.
Yeah.
I get the brief.
So David, what do you think of my moon, bro?
No, yeah. it was silly. And of course, yeah. you know, it shot straight to number one.
Yeah.
In South Africa, we had this great moment a year ago when we watched the Beekeeper, and we all laughed at how silly it was. And someone in the group was like, "Yeah, well, it's going to do really well."
Yeah,
and we were like, "What?" We didn't even
South
think
African
it
audiences.
And
love
this guy
this
was
stuff.
Like, "I'm not going to reveal his name, but he works in the industry," and right. he was like, "South Africa loves this shit." And lo and behold, it was number one.
Right. Yeah, in the cinema, we were just all kind of sitting there feeling the exact same thing. Like, yeah. I know we were expecting this, but
yeah.
And then the entire cinema was going absolutely boss.
Yeah.
They were
no,
like,
there
loving
was that
it.
Woman in front of us that was clapping at the end and like, yeah, boy. And we were just like, oh my God.
You need to watch more action movies, lady.
but yeah.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, Graham pointed this out when we went in. It's the same team that made The Beekeeper,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm
director
saying.
David Ayer
yeah.
and Jason Statham. And I was checking out the box office mojo bit on this. And The Beekeeper made $162 million.
Okay.
And this has made $36
million. Okay.
So far.
Yeah.
In one weekend, that's not bad.
And they probably didn't cost much. They probably cost like $30, $40 million.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that does make
so
sense.
That's pretty good for yeah. relatively low budget films.
The only sector of people that this movie isn't for
yeah.
are human traffickers.
Beware.
They've got to beware.
I found myself going, who are these people a lot in this movie? Because it just cuts to like, it seemed like it was trying to be very John Wick-y.
Yes.
With its like little underground world of like these like weird factions of people.
Yes.
And it just cuts to like a room of all these like old Russian men. And I'm like, who are these people? How are they relevant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like setting up that bigger crime underworld
thing. Yeah, but
thing.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. No, yeah. They're bringing it in the sequels, bro.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Little somewhat of a Sapphire Spotter moment. One yes. of the henchmen was Cokie Felco,
yeah.
who was a South African stand-up comedian,
yeah.
actor who went over to L.A., and sort of did the odd job.
There you go.
And has sort of survived LA.
Yeah.
And he survives by doing movies like The Working Man.
There you go.
Go Cokie.
Right.
Do you want to give the context around Sylvester Stallone and Trump? That was interesting.
Oh, I forgot making that comment. Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that Sylvester Stallone was a writer of this movie.
Yes.
And he was behind it.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting that it comes at the same time
yeah.
that Trump has appointed some individuals
yeah.
under a sort of special committee, right?
Yes.
What is that fucking committee? It's yeah. like a committee to sort of make American movies
great again.
Great yeah. again or some shit.
Something like that.
You still have...
Make movies men again.
But seriously, what was that committee?
I don't know. I think something that's very funny about this is he didn't actually like discuss it with any of them beforehand. He just made the announcement of like, these guys are on this committee that are going to save Hollywood.
Oh, here's the Variety headline.
Didn't discuss it with these people beforehand. They learned about it when he made a social media post.
Really?
Yes.
But one of those people was Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
Yeah, so check
and
this out.
Mel Gibson.
Trump named Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson, and John Voight as special ambassadors to troubled Hollywood. Okay. They'll bring lost business back.
Okay.
It's just funny that that all happens around the same time, that yes. a movie like The Working Man then comes out.
Yes.
Why John Voight?
Because he's a Trump supporter.
Oh. It's so confusing.
Right.
But Jason Statham remains the British guy.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, but he's living in America. But yeah. but he I don't think he's ever done an American accent, has he?
I think he's tried.
Okay.
And not done very well.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, on the complete flip side of this kind of movie,
yes.
comes a much smaller, very thoughtful, local, very intentional, very beautiful film called A Kind of Madness,
okay.
which is worth a mention. South Africa has a director called Christian Olwagen, who I've never met,
right.
and I don't quite know what he's like. He would be an amazing person to have on the show, so
yeah.
we should try and see what's possible in that sense. But in a world of South African cinema, he has seemed, at least to me, to be one of our few intentional, artistic, more auteur filmmakers
right.
that are trying to get across an artistic vision. A lot of South African films tend to sort of put this, you know, the story first, and yeah. it could be this fun comedy, and a lot of, especially in the Afrikaans world, mm. you know, a lot of like cake net films tend to be sort of fun and
yeah.
a little bit silly, perhaps. Or we've got these dramas, but we've got very few that are trying to sort of make a beautiful looking film, a beautiful piece of art that's
yes.
got real sort of strong intentions to it. A film like Canary.
Right.
was a film he made that had a Skalk Besaidenhout that touched on sort of queerness in the sort of Afrikaans army.
Right.
A lot of his work and a lot of his scenes are these very thought through scenes. Very, very, that's what I mean by when I say intentional.
Right.
It doesn't feel like he was trying his best to sort of get this movie made.
Yes.
It's like he knew the camera needed to be there. It needed to shift, it needed to move, it needed to zoom out, it needed to go in.
Okay.
Like you feel like you he's confidently holding your hand. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
A lot of South African films are people that are making it with the best intentions, but they're not a well-oiled machine.
Right.
So a lot of South African films can sometimes feel a bit clumsy in the edit or in the costumes or in the intention or halfway through, you're like, wait, who's he? But why is he doing that?
Yes.
And you sometimes get the sense that when you're not this machine that pumps out these movies, that knows how to make these movies, that's had a lot of experience making these movies, you sometimes feel that so much more was sitting in the director's head and they lost objectivity and they couldn't get it out.
Right.
And you sort of needed the writer to perhaps explain something that you couldn't quite get across.
Right.
Because you completely objectively are like, I don't get it. Or like, I'm not feeling for this.
Okay.
And so the South African films that I think have shone are the ones that have got that like simple, beautiful core to it. Something like Material. There's certain movies that have just stuck out amongst the others that have been these strong South African movies. And I think Christian Olwagen is making this kind of stuff where it's just very thought through.
Okay.
A Kind of Madness stars Sandra Prinsloo and Ian Roberts, who are sort of like our real, you know, heavy hitters.
Mm.
These are very celebrated veteran actors. And it's about their love story. It's about the fact that when they were kids, they met on this beach. I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
There was this tragic accident. And now much later in life, Sandra Prinsloo is suffering from a dementia. She's got a medical condition where a part of her still feels like she's this kind of 16-year-old, 18-year-old girl. But they did have a life together. But now in this kind of mental institution, she's struggling with her own mental health. And she convinces Ian Roberts to break her out.
Sure.
And they go on this kind of road trip, much to the dismay of their kids. So they've obviously had this kind of life together where they've raised these kids, but now later in life, she's kind of slipped into this dementia. And the movie is almost this kind of road trip as they sort of are sort of escaping together as these kind of old toppies.
Right.
But with her kind of lucid, but not. But there's just these, it's beautifully shot. As I said, you've got the confidence of him. It feels like he's holding your hand solidly. Yes. And you're with them.
Okay.
That's cool.
And just these moments, like when you are trying to convey her mental instability and how you cut and edit and plan the camera to show she thinks she's 16, but she's not, but she is, but now she's seeing things. And how do you show that instability?
Yes. Oh, I love that. That reminds me of The Father with Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Where as a viewer, you are as disorientated as the character is, right? Mm.
Yeah. No. And he does that.
That's super exciting. And you're screening it at the Bioscope?
Yeah, we are. So it starts, the weekend ahead of when this episode's coming out. Cool. So yeah, A Kind of Madness.
Oh yeah, we'll check it out.
Ooh. It's definitely, and it looks like it's shot on film. Which also is like, why would anyone do that in 2025? You know what I mean? But
because you can.
Because you can, and also if you want your film to look a particular way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's also got that like almost brutalist aspect ratio where it's not quite widescreen, but it's not quite 4:3. But it's an intentional way of framing.
Right.
And that's what I mean by a decision.
Right.
There's a creative decision.
There's like creative certainty. Right.
There's a certainty. Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's like directors that know what they're doing. They know what their story's about. Like that kernel that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's when a director's holding your hand through a story and being like, "This is what we're talking about."
Mm.
And then you watch The Working Man, and you're like, "What the fuck is this, dude?" You
know? Well, in a way, they also know exactly what they're doing.
No, 100%. Sure.
But it's just like, there's just moments where that film just gets so silly.
Yeah.
Cool. Are there any other films? I'm not sure what I can sometimes talk about.
No, right.
I get invited to
Super top secret.
Well, I get invited to these exhibitor screenings.
Yeah.
And I think what's really interesting there is that sometimes these big studios do put what is the word for it? Like a curfew on what is the word?
An embargo.
An embargo. Yeah. Sounds so. I don't know. It sounds like we're sort of shipping tea or shipping illegal substances at the dock.
Yeah.
and that embargo kind of means that no one's allowed to say anything. Yet. Yeah. Because I saw Sinners.
Cool. I think it looks rad.
I don't know what that one is. What's that?
You don't know about Sinners?
No.
We've spoken about it before. It's the Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Coogler.
Yes.
Michael B. Jordan.
It's two characters.
Yeah, they play twins.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors.
I heard about that, and I did tell the others at the at the thing. I was like, I don't know whether I'm talking shit here.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they're these twins, and it's cool that they look similar and that they play alongside each other. Set in the Deep South.
Yes.
And it's these two kind of like gangster brothers, and I don't know what I can say, but but can I just say something?
Are you excited for it?
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking rad.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting.
Cool.
You know, we've each got our the things that we love in the video store.
Yeah.
For those who listen every week, I always talk about the gooeys, which is this feeling of like, you know, something sort of curdles your stomach where you're like, it sort of touches on a, and it could be a 1 minute advert can do it for me. And so like at the start of A Kind of Madness, there was one or two moments where I was like, oh, I'm getting it.
Yes.
Ooh.
And then of course, it can really sort of outpour in a movie at the end when you really want to have a good cry.
Mm.
Graham here in the video store loves a big swing.
Love a big swing.
And let me tell you, this is a nice big swing.
It's nice.
So I would love to see whether it pays off for you.
Okay.
Because not only are you in this 1930s Deep South Black America, rich with all its kind of folklore and music and culture, but you've also got this supernatural horror that comes in. And I don't want to say specifically what it is.
Oh, my God.
But you get the sense from the trailer. You get the sense that, that there's something.
Yes.
There's an evil. There's something in the night.
Cool.
And those two together is the bold swing.
Okay.
And I'd love to see whether you dig it.
Nice. I'm excited.
Kolsky, any other movies from your side?
No, I've just been rewatching Tarantino.
Okay.
Actually, and I'm about to make my way onto Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Okay. And I'm about to finish the book I'm reading, so...
Well, I was about to say that after watching the movie...
Should I do it after I watch the movie?
You should then read the book.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, just because the two are completely separate in that sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, it'll just... You'll be in the mood of the movie, and then the book will just give you, like, so much extraness.
Okay.
And also for those listening, if you do live in Joburg, pop into the Bioscope's gift shop. Ah. We do have copies of it.
Cool.
Like, I always have copies of this book because I stand by it being fucking awesome. If you love the Bioscope, if you love that movie, if you kind of understood that movie, a lot of people think they know Tarantino, but they don't.
Right.
And then they
watch
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and they go, it was weird. It was boring. Nothing happened.
Yeah, when I watched it last, it took me by surprise. So I'm keen to watch it again.
It's a mood. It's a vibe. It's a camaraderie. It's about them as buddies. It's like it's not this big plot point of that invasion. That invasion was just like a fun coating on top. But the cake itself was about their relationship.
Okay.
Cliff Booth and
Leo.
Leonardo DiCaprio's character. Okay, so what have you just finished?
I've just finished The Hateful Eight. So I'm up to Once Upon a Time
in
Hollywood.
That's cool. It plays out like a bit of a stage play.
Yeah.
I would love to watch The Hateful Eight as like a small theater production.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm.
And I'm surprised it's never happened.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do that. Because he almost canceled that movie because the script leaked.
Okay.
Because he's very secretive about that sort of thing. And somehow the script went online before the movie even went into production. Okay. So he almost scrapped it entirely.
Yeah.
Because he was pissed.
That movie will forever be linked to a strange and defining moment in my life.
Oh, yeah.
We were two-thirds of the way through that movie when a dude came into the cinema and disturbed the cinema.
Mm-hmm. Oh?
This drunk dude was like looking for his wallet. And my... Sure, we hadn't gotten married yet. My sort of girlfriend at the time, fiance at the time, was like, please be quiet. Like, she actually was quite, like, polite to the dude.
Yes.
And he said something like, oh, fuck off, bitch. And I was like, nope.
Hey.
Hey. I got up. This other dude got up. And we pulled this guy out of the cinema. He was so drunk that we were hardly, like, forcing him.
Yes.
But we were like, come, bud, out.
Our foot sack, dude.
And, I was like, you know what? This motherfucker's ruined my night.
Yeah.
And so when the security came and the manager of Sterkinical came, I said, you know what? This guy's ruined my night. Ruin his night. Like, if there's a little holding cell or a little security booth in this shopping center, put him in there.
Right.
Right.
Like, just do whatever you can to kind of ruin his night because he's ruined my night. This dude then punched me in the face.
Jeez.
He punched me in the lip. It was so wild.
My Lord.
And then the Sterkinical manager was very responsive and also kind of hit the guy back.
Right.
In a very responsible way.
Right.
Like
right.
It was a smart move on his part to like kind of restrain him. And they like got the guy away. But it was one of those like
bizarre.
Wild. I've never been in like a fight.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean? With a stranger.
Yeah.
But there was this actually scary moment where like when we, as we came out of the cinema, he was so drunk that he like actually like fell on the floor.
Oh.
And a lot of those, it's like tiled floors.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
And you just get this like inkling of like, you have to be so careful in these moments.
Yeah.
Like anyone like fighting outside on the street,
mm-mm,
you got to be so careful that this person you're fighting doesn't hit their head on the floor. Because if you fall in the wrong way, you could die.
Mm.
I mean, we were nowhere near that territory, but it was like just an inkling of like,
right,
this is how
you've
bad.
You've heard of this happening before, and this is how quickly it can happen.
And how my whole life could have changed because of this drunk stranger in the cinema.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got vouchers and we went back and finished.
Oh, okay.
Finished The Hateful Eight. So it'll always forever be this movie that sort of had this sort of strange moment in it.
That's interesting. I watched the extended edition that was on Netflix, but it's now been taken off Netflix, which I was a bit annoyed that I hadn't watched it when it was on Netflix. But they add like 40 minutes of extra footage and they split it into four episodes, basically. Uh-huh. So, you know, Tarantino always has the chapters.
Yeah.
So they split those chapters into four parts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it just, you know, the pacing wasn't great. It was, it just felt like a very slipshod extended cuts with grading continuity errors, like color consistencies.
Maybe someone thought they could do it and then they realized they, oh, no, this isn't a good product. And then they took it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the most famous story of that was the guitar.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Martin guitar.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, it's like that moment. It's really interesting. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
In his sort of acting moment, was swept up in this moment and smashed this guitar. But everyone was like, oh my God, that was the most expensive, famous antique guitar. You should never have smashed it.
Yeah, it was like a 100-year-old.
Yeah, then her reaction is genuine in the film. But then you see the cut immediately afterwards and her emotion is just like completely different because they wanted to use the cut. They had to use the cut where he smashes the guitar. Yeah.
There's no other
and her, she's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then the next shot, she's like, stole. And you're like, oh, damn, guys. Like, you should have, you know.
Yeah.
Like carried on with that emotion. So it's like a lot of it is jarring.
Yes.
Like the way it's cut and edited. It's not my favorite. It's my worst Tarantino, actually.
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Should we chat TV shows?
Sure.
Yeah.
We started The Residence. Do you know about The Residence?
No.
It was off to a very good start.
Okay.
It is on Netflix. It is a TV show. Yes. So whodunit?
I saw the clip of this and the clip was amazing.
Yeah. It's I'll get into my sort of critique of it, but we are in the White House. There is a state dinner.
Okay.
And our head usher, who's played by we know him from Breaking Bad, Carlos Esposito.
Oh, of course.
Is the head usher, and he's found murdered in the billiard room.
Right.
Upstairs.
Yes.
And so this whole show is a whodunit. Then we are introduced to a special consultant who is this kind of the best detective in the world kind of title. She's very charismatic. It's very cool that she's a black woman. So it's nice that we are now presented with this kind of Sherlock Holmesian character. And for the first time in what feels like ever.
It's not a white guy.
It's not a white male. She's got this kind of quirky attribute where she's like a bird watcher. She also operates in a particular way, but this whole show is this kind of lock-in in the White House as we try and figure out who murdered this guy.
Right.
And it's with the Australian government. So there's all these Australian characters. Each episode seems to kind of have you allude that it could be this guy. It could be the chef.
Okay.
Or it could be the one of the waiters. Yes. Or it could be the, you know, someone else. One or two of them drag on a little bit too long.
Okay.
So I did. There was a point where I was getting a little bit annoyed. It could maybe be a bit tighter. Mm. But I do appreciate a nice whodunit.
Cool.
It reminds me of one film I've never watched, which is quite famously like the Agatha Christie-esque kind of film, which is Clue.
Yes, I was going to say, Clue is awesome.
I've never seen that.
It's so much fun. This is like the movie adaptation of the board game.
Yes.
So you have Colonel Mustard and Lady Scarlet and Tim Curry's in it.
Yes. Yeah, it's Wadsworth.
Yeah, he's the butler.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. And also what was fun and very cool about Clue is that they had different endings.
Oh.
And different cinemas got different versions.
Interesting.
And so when the movie was released at the time, there was multiple versions out there, and you actually didn't know which version you were going to watch.
Okay.
As to who was the killer.
That's fun.
Just to make a fun play on it.
That's that would be my vote for a Video Store Presents, because I'd really love to watch this.
Mm. Yeah.
It's quite famous.
I'd be keen.
Yeah, we've got a list, guys. We must do it.
Yeah. We must just work our way through it. I really want to work my way through this.
Yes.
But yeah, The Residence, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
I think it's quite cool to be playing in the White House.
Okay.
Because it's a very interesting building. But yeah, we still go back to Tracker on Disney Plus, which is a great little serial detective type show. Dr. Odyssey still delivers.
Oh, right.
Which is the big Disney Plus, you know, set on a cruise ship.
Yes.
With Joshua Jackson as the medical Head. So it's this kind of medical drama meets a little bit of soap.
Right.
You know, with the individuals. It's a little bit of everything in a good way. It's paid off for me, nice. Dr. Odyssey.
Okay.
And we've been happy with that. Will Trent. There's a new season of Will Trent.
I have no idea what that is.
Will
no
Trent is very cool. It's quite a smart cop show.
All right.
He works for what's effectively the sort of FBI within Atlanta, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Right.
He's an interesting individual. He's Hispanic, but wasn't raised Hispanic. He was raised in an orphanage.
Right.
So he's got this like real like Southern accent, but he's
Southern drawl.
But he's Hispanic, but not Hispanic, right. And it's sort of that gets played with a lot. He's dyslexic, so he sort of goes about things in a different way. But no, it's smart characters. It's a combination of like overarching stories that last more than one episode, but a lot gets resolved in each episode.
Right.
Will Trent's cool. Okay. It's a very like, it's like, how do you make that kind of show in 2025? You make it this way.
Right.
Where it's just that much smarter. It's just that much more nuanced. He's got this like little Chihuahua dog called Betty.
Right.
No, it's lovable. It's lovable, but it's also smart.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Will Trent.
Cool.
On Disney Plus. But yeah, lekker, guys.
Yeah.
Cool. thank you for a cool day. Is there anything else that's burning inside that you need to mention?
I don't think so.
I think I finished watching Adolescence.
Okay.
All right.
It's a real tragedy that's not going to win Oscars. I know it will win Emmys. Yes. But I'm just like, Stephen Graham's acting in that is like world class.
Right.
It is so fucking good.
Yeah. And interestingly timed that it sort of comes after the award season. So hopefully the world remembers it when the Emmys roll around next year.
I think they will, because it was the same situation with Baby Reindeer. Yeah. And then it kind of did really well this award season.
No, Adolescence is great. We've spoken about it relatively at length, but I think now in its kind of aftermath, there's a lot around how they shot it. There's a lot around how they prepped for it.
Right. I need to dive into that.
And all of that stuff's really great.
Because those winners are like head scratching. You just sit there going, they're always in the shot. How did they cut?
Right.
Yeah. You know? For those who've missed it, it's a show where every episode is one single take.
Yeah.
And so it was this very well coordinated, very well executed scenes where, it's almost like it just celebrates the acting, really.
Right.
Because these folks almost had to act it like a play, obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's quite a spectacular thing that really has awakened a much bigger discussion around the world and specifically in the UK about toxic masculinity, the pressure on teens,
right.
Crimes at this young age, how violence in schools happens and how these situations can get out of control.
Yeah, they pull no punches showing how shit the UK education system is currently with regards to like students, teachers, respect, and it just looks like a mess.
Yeah.
You know?
No, there's a lot of those issues.
It's very, we need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah.
Dramatically. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a similar situation there. Same kind of theme around parenthood.
Okay.
And if your child's a monster, how do you continue being a parent? You just be a parent, you know?
And what can you do? What could you possibly be doing or do more of or be aware of? Sure. Yeah, no, it's quite a thing.
Okay.
All right. On that note, talk to your kid.
Yeah. Have an honest conversation, guys.
An honest conversation.
Also, put one of those little Wi-Fi monitoring apps on their phone so you can see what they're searching. If they're watching too much Andrew Tate, just like step in there.
Yes.
You know? Let's talk to some girls. Go touch some grass.
Touch some grass.
Yeah.
What did our video store friend say? Instead of touch some grass, you got to touch some velvet.
All right.
Brett.
Yes, I do.
Sometimes you just got to touch some velvet. All right. Lovely. Thank you, guys.
Cool.
Thanks for a lovely day.
Yes.
And we'll see you again next week.
Yeah.
That will be
magic. All right. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. We've got links to some previous guest episodes there. But chime in. Let us know what you think about what we've spoken about. And we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.